This is Here and Now.
I just broke up with my girlfriend, because I lied to impress her. Have you guys ever done this? And then it always comes back at you. Jeez, when that space shuttle landed and I wasn't on it, I couldn't.
Some comedy from the late Gary Shandling, who died in 2016 at age 66 from pulmonary thrombosis. Shandling was not only a groundbreaking comic, he was a mentor to others, including writer-director Judd Apatow. Apatow has a new book of Shandling's journals and jokes out this week. It's called It's Gary Shandling's Book, and he joins us now. Judd Apatow, welcome.
Great to be here.
Well, and when did you first meet Gary Shandling?
I met Gary when I was 15 or 16 years old. In high school, I desperately wanted to talk to comics, so I started a radio show for my high school radio station, and I would trick comedians into talking to me by pretending it wasn't a high school radio station. And I interviewed Gary over the phone. It was a few weeks after he had hosted The Tonight Show for the first time, which is a big deal for a young comedian. And I had this great chat with him. He was hilarious. And then I met him many years later, 5 or 6 years later, and I got hired to write jokes for him for the Grammy Awards. And that's, you know, when our friendship began.
Well, and the friendship really developed because you talk in your introduction about after he died, you went over, went through his house, found boxes of photos and his journals, which make up this book.
Yeah, after he died, you know, someone had to go through everything. And I think because I loved Gary so much, and also I'm a hoarder, and the idea of all of his stuff just disappearing was not something that I could handle.
Well, one of the amazing things is that the journal entries go back to when he was a kid. He was writing down his thoughts about his life and jokes.
Yes, there's stuff in this book, which is, you know, a combination of, you know, like a scrapbook and an oral history of Gary. But yeah, we did find jokes that he wrote when he was in college. And, you know, we trace his history, you know, right to his earliest days living in Arizona. He had a brother who had cystic fibrosis, and the family moved to Arizona for him. And then his brother died when Gary was 10 and his brother was 13. And that really seemed to be, you know, a defining moment in Gary's development. The family dealt with it in a way that was not unique to the time. You know, they dealt with it by not talking about it. And I think that that really wounded Gary, and it didn't allow him to grieve in a normal, healthy way. And as a result, that loss, you know, stayed with him, you know, for his entire life.
Well, and when he first started doing stand-up comedy, and this is his first ever Comedy Store set. You have a joke that he told. He said, "You don't know what it was like being an unwanted child. My mother had tried to talk her doctor into performing an abortion, but he said he wouldn't do it because it was illegal to perform an abortion once the child had reached the age of 15. But did he have a difficult relationship with his mother?
I think that he did. You know, his mom, you know, was a real character. And when his brother died, it felt like his mom had a really hard time with it and then focused all of her energy on Gary. And I think that engulfment was more than he could handle. He had a lot of jokes about it. He won an award once and he gave it to his mom afterwards. And she said to him, "But you didn't thank me on TV." And he's like, "But mom, I'm giving you the award now. I'm here with you now. Would it be better if I did it on TV?" And she said, "Yes." Gary had a joke where he said, "My mom wants me to have kids, just not with other people."
You know, you talk about this in this book, and he talks about it as well, that a big part of his humor was opening up, being honest with the audience, and being very personal.
Yes, I think that at some point he realized that the journey in his creativity was to just go deep into himself and share his life and his feelings and his story with other people. That made his stand-up kind of deeper and richer. He had a great joke where he said, "My friends tell me I have an intimacy problem, but they don't really know me." And so if you look at the body of his work, his stand-up became more personal, and then his television work became more personal. It's Gary Shandling Show, you know, was a very funny, imaginative show where he talked to the camera and revealed the studio audience. And then with the Larry Sanders Show, it was a little more of an exploration of both the inside of a talk show, but it was more about show business and ego. And it almost felt like Gary wanted to explore a side of himself that he didn't like. He didn't like that he wanted to be a star. He didn't like that he wanted all the attention. So he created this character, which was even worse than he was, and he made fun of it. It's almost like he was mocking the part of himself that he wanted to get rid of.
Well, and I have to say, as somebody who is 37 now, the Larry Sanders Show is where I first discovered Gary Shandling, and I want to play a clip of it. He played a talk show host named Larry Sanders. A lot of famous people appeared as guests on his show, including Sharon Stone. Here's a clip with the two of them.
Oh, I feel so uncomfortable in my TV shows.
Really? Well, so do I.
You do?
Yeah.
You're so good at it.
No, trust me, I hate myself. So what does someone like you do now?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I'm having dinner with Oliver Stone.
Wow, that's just what I imagined someone like you doing, having dinner with Oliver Stone. He's
Larry,
such an interesting
Larry,
guy.
Larry, what are you doing here during the show? Is there a problem or something?
There's no problem. I'm walking Miss Stone out. Common courtesy.
Oh, right. Right. Good. There's a lot of gang activity in this part of the hallway.
So is there something – because he did, as you said, he hosted the Tonight Show, the real life Tonight Show, to fill in for Johnny Carson. Was there something that he thought he was able to do with Larry Sanders' show that he wasn't able to do in real life or that he wanted to do?
I think one of the inspirations for the Larry Sanders Show was that Gary was at the Tonight Show filling in as a guest host, and he sees Little Richard in the hallway, and he's very upset about something and having a problem, and he's watching the producer, Peter LaSalle, talk Little Richard down from some problem or complaint, and that he just found that side of it so funny. That what was more interesting was the stuff happening behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And that's what fascinated Gary. You know, he always said that the show was about people who love each other, but show business gets in the way. And I think that was his philosophy for all of his creativity, that it's all about what are the obstacles to love.
I want to listen to a clip of The Tonight Show in part just because I love listening to Gary Shandling tell some jokes. But this is when he was a guest on The Tonight Show in March of 1981, talking about his dog.
Irish setters are too hyper and inbred, like my cousin Stuart. And what happens when it thunders, she digs up the carpet to get underneath the carpet to get away from the thunder. And the vet gave me these animal tranquilizers to give her. You know, they're doggy downers or something. I don't know what they are, but they tasted real minty and they were hard to swallow.
So Judd Apatow, one of the things I thought was so interesting about his experience with The Tonight Show is you see the notes in this book that he wrote about it, and it seemed like he had to remind himself how great it was that he got to host The Tonight Show and that actually he was a success in this world, even if he clearly was still very self-critical.
I mean, he really prepared to do this kind of work psychologically. I feel like Gary was ahead of the curve with a lot of what people talk about now in terms of manifesting your dreams, visualizing what you will do in advance, the way athletes do. He knew from early on that he wanted to host The Tonight Show, and he was aware that he had to be really funny with Johnny in order to succeed on that show. And a lot of his preparation was mentally preparing to be loose and funny in the moment. So it wasn't just memorizing his jokes. He had to be in a mental space to be quick and sharp and think of something in that moment. And that, I think, connected to all of his Buddhist ideas about presence and trusting that if you're confident, the great joke will come in the moment.
Tell me about the Buddhism part of Gary Shandling.
I don't know if Gary considered himself a Buddhist, but when you go through his journals, you know, he's writing these reminders to himself, and it's like classic Buddhist ideas about, you know, letting go, no mind. And, you know, he'd say the ego desires, desire breeds suffering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are classic Buddhist ideas, but they were very important to Gary because he was struggling to figure out a way to be creative and not be an egomaniac and not be obsessed with how people were reacting to him and trying to be successful. So it's interesting because he was this neurotic man who loved talking about the obsession with success. But at the same time, he was constantly saying to himself, none of this matters.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think he kept all these notes over the years?
I think that as a thoughtful, spiritual person and also a single man through much of his life, he developed, you know, a higher voice that talked him off the ledge. So most of his journals are not complaining journals. They're reminders to himself about how he wants to behave. It's almost like he's created this adult voice who's talking to him and just, you know, saying, calm down. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only love. Only love, you know. Just let go.
Well, I laughed. I cried reading this book. It is fantastic, especially for people who have an appreciation already, at least somewhat, of Gary Shandling. Judd Apatow, editor of It's Gary Shandling's Book, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.